I'm Brett Hayworth, and welcome to What's a Frequency, our weekly show on Siouxland Public Media. This week, we're having a discussion to catch up on some key issues that are being discussed and funneled into legislation in the Iowa legislature. We are now in a third straight year where What's a Frequency shows check in once per month with Republican and Democratic legislators in Iowa to hear their impressions on how this session is going, what they see as key elements so far, and how this session might play out. We'll also check in with the show concerning the main issues in South Dakota and Nebraska legislatures for a future episode. As we record this show in the first week of February, the Iowa legislature is approaching 1 month of work. Some of the topics being debated this year are a potential change in how property taxes function in Iowa, public and private school funding, and much, much more. Republicans hold strong majorities in both Iowa chambers, so they are poised to put in place some changes if they can agree. Here to discuss those topics this week are two Siouxland members of the Iowa legislature. We have Republican State Representative Megan Jones of Clay County and Democratic State Senator Caitlin Dre of Sioux City. And we start first with Representative Jones. So thank you for your time.
Thank you, Brett. I appreciate it.
Thank you. And you've done this for a few years, and I appreciate you coming back as a guest again. So thank you.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
How many years have you been in the House, and what committees are you on this year?
Yeah, so I was first elected in 2012, and I currently serve as the chair of the Transportation Committee. And then I also serve on the Ways and Means Committee, the RIF Budgetary Committee, and then I am also on the State Government Committee. I represent House District 6, and so basically that's Spencer to Storm Lake.
Okay, thank you. And Representative Jones, what bills are you leading this year, and what might be the measure that you most want to see passed into law in 2026?
Yeah, so being the chair of the Transportation Committee is a new role for me, and so I've kind of had to shift gears, so to speak, but that's really exciting for me, and I'm really interested in some of these issues. And so actually just this morning, I've already had three subcommittees in the last hour and a half, and one of my subcommittees bumped into we walked into the meeting room, and a bill that I sponsored was having a subcommittee itself, and it was a room full of my constituents. And so we've had a really busy day in House District 6 already this morning, so that's very exciting. But some of the bills that we've been tackling today have to deal with front license plates and a window tint. One bill came straight out of a local deputy. He brought to me, he said, hey, when someone has been deemed medically unfit to drive, the DOT still has to give them a 30-day notice. And so they have 30 days after they've been deemed medically unfit to drive, they have 30 days still to drive, even though they've been deemed medically unfit. That is wild. That's unsafe, especially if they've already been deemed that they shouldn't be driving. 30 days thereafter, even just to tidy up business, that's a long time for people to be driving still. So pass a bill at a subcommittee today to have like an immediate revocation once somebody has been deemed medically unfit to drive. Another one that we had today relates to car seat safety. Our car seat laws in Iowa are really on the low end, especially considering our neighboring state. So right now, if you have a one-year-old, if you drive over the bridge into Omaha, you need to turn your kid around because in Nebraska, they have to be in the car seat rear facing until they're 2 years old. And so we need to just tighten up those car seat laws and bring them up to the appropriate safety standards. We haven't looked at those in a few years. So let's tighten up those safety standards and make sure that those babies are protected.
And you gave a few examples of some bills that people contacted you about. I'm curious, do you go to the Saturday morning? There's a lot of legislative forums throughout Iowa. Do you go to those? And what issues have you heard from constituents in the first month that like most prominent for Iowans?
Yeah, so Eggs and Issues and Spencer is televised in six states, and so it's a pretty heated forum, but it's always really exciting. And then I also do the forums in Storm Lake too, and that one's coming up on this upcoming Saturday on the 7th. So I do both of those, and we have, I think, six forums over the course of the legislative session. So we just wrapped one up in Spencer. Really interesting discussions. Of course, property taxes came up. Income taxes came up as well. People were worried that the rate wasn't appropriate. And so we had a really good discussion on the percentage and how what that means for different levels of income. But I think ultimately that kind of devolved into a discussion about property taxes. People are very worried about property taxes and their property tax rates, and especially our aging population. People are worried about not being able to truly own their own home, right? Because you're always going to have to pay the government for your property taxes. And so we need to make sure that people are comfortable in their home and comfortable with that, what that number looks like. Because at the end of the day, we still need to pay for fire and police services and library services and those kinds of things. And people expect a good product coming out of their city and local governments and certainly their school districts as well. And so we need to make sure that we find that, thread that needle and find that good balance. But at the same time, we need to make sure that our population is comfortable in their homes.
Okay. Thank you. And you, I don't know if it was some sort of divining that you did, but that was my next question was going to be about the where property tax reform stands. And I think back to this, the past fall, various city governments that I took, you know, mayors and city council members, there's a big push to do something with property taxes. It didn't occur in 2025, but cities are concerned that, you know, their ability to pay for services that they want to, that their citizens want. So you mentioned that balance. Do you have a estimate for how this might go down, or a prediction?
Yeah, so the House, the Senate, and the governor have all released their packages, and I don't think we're that far apart. And I think it's a very thoughtful, measured approach. And so I, you know, we're going to have those discussions publicly and, you know, get those, that insight from folks and hear what people think about those proposals, you know, whether it be the 2% cap on growth in cities. And, you know, we need to have those discussions and we need to take in those ideas and hear what people have to say about, you know, where we can find savings or where we can find more efficiencies. And so, you know, we're going to have a very thorough, thoughtful discussion. And the way the legislative calendar works is that funnel week is coming up for policy bills in the next couple of weeks. And so right now we're really focused in on policy discussions. And so I think we'll start after February 20th, we'll start having greater discussions on the fiscal side of the calendar. And so that's when those taxation pieces will really take steam.
Okay, thank you. That's really helpful. I was going to ask about when funnel was coming up, and that I think that really helps set the scene so people know, and I guess this might kick into a higher gear for that property tax. So you're saying after the 20th?
Yep.
Yep. Okay, thank you. You're listening to What's a Frequency, where we are discussing topics that are in play in the Iowa Legislature roughly 1 month into the session. The guests are two Siouxland members of the Iowa Legislature, with Republican State Representative Megan Jones of Clay County, and we'll hear later from Democratic State Senator Caitlin Dre of Sioux City. And now we're back with Representative Jones. Another big topic is the push to use restrict the use of eminent domain powers by governments to use private property for public uses. On the other hand, some people want a pipeline to be built in Iowa, and they say that effort could be killed by such a bill. How do you see this issue? If there's a if there's a balance that can be struck, or do you want a specific step to be taken?
Yeah, I think there's going to be resolution on this issue, and I think you know, there's new leadership in the House and the Senate, and so I think there's just different styles that are addressing it. And nothing against the previous people who were handling the issues, but I think it's just a fresh set of eyes on the issue, and so I think we'll make progress on some kind of bill this session. That said, as for my vote, where I stand on that issue, I'm kind of in a difficult situation. So House rules, specifically House Rule 76, prohibits members from voting on legislation in which they are personally impacted over and above any member of the general public, right? So teachers can vote on the education budget because the education funding is available to any student and any person, right?
Right,
so
right.
My family farms land that is impacted by the proposed pipelines. So I have to take what's called Rule 76. And so I am not eligible to vote on legislation that impacts the pipelines. So That's what I've had to do throughout the course of these bills. That said, in 2025, after the legislative session, both of my in-laws passed away. And so we're transitioning the farm to their three children, my husband and his two sisters. And so we're in an even bigger situation than what we were starting out at the last legislative session. So I don't know whose hands that property will end up being in, and I don't really know where it's at right now. And it's kind of just it's being sorted out through the estate process. And so we're working on that. We're working on that. The legal wheels just need to turn. And so we're just in an even bigger situation than what we were last session. And so I, again, will have to rule 76 myself out for an even bigger situation than I was in last year. But so I will not be able to engage in those discussions or that situation, but it is my hope for Iowans, one way or the other, we can put this situation to rest.
Okay, thank you for that. And the voice you're hearing is Representative Megan Jones. She's of Iowa House District 6. And you mentioned a change in some of the who's in on various committees and leadership. And that spurred me to thinking back to the previous show a month ago when I spoke with the legislators about the session. And they talked about how Republican Governor Kim Reynolds is not seeking re-election, so that makes her, in some ways, a lame duck. That could color the session. Have you seen any of that? Like, were some ideas that might have been non-starters are now being debated, or vice versa?
Well, I can assure you that Governor Reynolds is anything but a lame duck. She is a feisty firecracker and will always be. There is nothing lame or duck about her. I love her passion. I love her energy, and it is felt throughout this building every day. And so I continue to look forward to working with her. We may not agree on every little bit of policy all the time, but that's everybody, right? I mean, if you're agreeing with 100% of the people 100% of the time, you're probably not reading into the issues enough or reading enough of the bills, right? So you got to work those things out. And that's the beauty of this process. And that is what Iowans are so good at. That is, we are so thoughtful and so deliberative. And that is why we are so respected across the nation for vetting our presidential candidates, because we're so thoughtful and so deliberative, and we take that responsibility seriously. We take government and we take policy and we take politics very seriously. And so I just very much look forward to working with her this legislative session.
Okay, thank you. And let's talk about K-12 education. The Iowa Senate just on Tuesday pushed forward. There's a proposed funding increase for the state's K-12 students. There's a Senate subcommittee. They would increase state per student funding by 1.75%. That would amount to about $8,100 per student. That also would apply to charter schools and educational savings accounts used by students at private schools. The governor originally suggested 2% increase, and there's a self-imposed deadline of February 12th to agree. Where does it seem like the new money percent for schools will land?
Well, I don't think the Senate proposal is enough. I wish we'd landed at 2%. And of course, I wish that would be more too, but we also have to pass a fiscally sound budget too. The lower that number gets, the more districts that get put on budget guarantee, which means higher property taxes. So far be it from us to pass a property tax bill, but then allow more property taxes to increase. And so we need to thread that needle. So I guess I would be more comfortable at 2%, but we're going to have that negotiation out with the Senate.
Okay, thank you. And two last questions for you, Representative Megan Jones. Is there any underreported legislative issue you'd like to mention that we haven't talked about so far?
Oh, man, that's a great question. I love underreported legislation. That is like my forte.
Okay.
Yes. Okay, so one bill that I'm cooking on is about Second Amendments, is about the Second Amendment. And I know people love to talk about the Second Amendment. And so there is a museum of guns at DCI headquarters in Ankeny. Those guns can be checked out by law enforcement, but there's not really an audit process. And those guns can never like really be turned over and formally surrendered really, or transitioned over to law enforcement entities. And so they just sit in Ankeny collecting dust. And so we need to have a formal transition process so that our law enforcement officers have complete full access to those guns and that they can actually be put back on the streets and taken out of the hands of criminals after they've been forfeited in a crime.
Interesting. Wow. That's definitely one I've never heard of. So yeah. And I guess that's why I asked the question. So thank you for being so energetic about that.
I love underreported legislation. Yes.
And then one last topic, and I know, you know, so this show is about how where the legislature stands about 1 month in, but I know there was also another big event that happened on Monday, and there was off-year county caucuses held across Iowa. Did you attend a caucus? If so, where? And then, like, what issues were top of mind for the Republicans where you were at?
Yeah, so I attended the Clay County caucus, which is just kind of, which is merged all together in one area. So we all met at the Spencer Middle School there in Spencer. And, you know, a lot of people were asking questions about these candidates because, again, we are really good at vetting candidates. And so, you know, we had there were a lot of questions about who was running for what office and, you know, where people stood on the issues. But a lot of people were making lists because they were going to go home and do their research because that's what Iowans are really good at. They're thoughtful, they're deliberative about these candidates, and they want to make sure that before they cast their vote in June, that they know who these people are. And so that was really the primary discussion, was who's running for what and how can I get to know them better.
Thank you. And how about platform issues? If there's one, I guess one follow-up question, was there one or two items that were discussed there?
Yeah, in Clay County, we're going to handle that at the county convention.
Oh, okay. Okay. Well, thank you for all of that. Thank you for that recap of the caucus from Monday and then also where we stand about 1 month in here at the Iowa Legislature. Thank you, Representative Megan Jones, for joining
Absolutely.
Me on this week's What's Your Frequency for a look at the Iowa Legislature. I appreciate your time.
Thank you. Yep. Take care, Brett. Thanks.
You're listening to What's a Frequency, where we are discussing topics that are in play in the Iowa Legislature roughly 1 month into the session. The guests are two Siouxland members of the Iowa Legislature, and now we move to hear from Democratic State Senator Caitlin Dre of Sioux City. Thank you. Thank you for your time today.
My pleasure. Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah. And well, I definitely have several questions about the session, but I do want to start. I do want to use this forum to check back on some fast developing news that you first publicly aired last week on January 26th. Can you give us an update on your medical news and how that's impacting your service in the Iowa Senate?
I would love to. So on January 27th, I had, I think we're calling it a partial hysterectomy. Uterus and fallopian tubes and cervix were removed because I was diagnosed with uterine cancer at the end of December. They left my ovaries because this is a health fact I didn't know. But if you go into menopause surgically too early, it can have pretty detrimental effects on your heart health later. And so my oncologist opted to leave my ovaries in place. And so I have healed well. I'm feeling really good. It's due in no small part, I'm sure, to the number of people that are praying for me and sending vibes and good energy and all of those things. And I got really great news yesterday. Heard back from my oncologist after the pathology came back, and there's no evidence of residual cancer, so I don't have to do any chemo or radiation. I just have to go to checkups every 6 months for the first year, and then every year thereafter. And so I'm incredibly grateful to just the absolute outpouring of support that I've had truly from across the state. And I also want to recognize that this is not always the news that people get. And that is devastating for a lot of reasons, right? It's devastating to our families, but it's also devastating to our workforce and our, you know, kids and teachers and the people in our community. And so I will continue to share what, you know, my kind of prognosis looks like and treatment. And but right now I'm just really so grateful to the love and support that I've received truly from all corners of the state. And I'm really just thrilled to share that I'm all clear.
Okay. Wow. That's fantastic news. As you said, certainly lots of people are very happy about that. And if I could just say this back to you, this had to be a whirlwind. So it would have been Tuesday the 27th, you had the procedure.
Yeah.
And then Tuesday of this, 7 days later, you got the results back.
Yeah. Yep. And back to work also. Right. I want to point out, I know that I'm kind of an outlier. I was able to have a laparoscopic or robotic surgery. So I have kind of five very small incisions across my abdomen and kind of a rainbow shape that my daughter noted. She's like, oh, it's like a rainbow. I'm like, sure, if it needs to be a rainbow, it can be a rainbow. But I'm feeling really, you know, as normal as I've ever felt, if we can be a little bit, have a little bit of levity. But I also know that that's not always the case for a lot of folks who undergo, you know, what I think is considered a fairly major surgery. I had incredible care. I had access to the right kind of healthcare, and I had, you know, the out-of-pocket money to pay for it without having to be concerned about, you know, making a mortgage payment or a rent payment at the same time. And so I want to just recognize that, again, that's not most people's experience, and that should not be the case in the wealthiest country in the world.
Thank you. And the voice you're hearing, that's State Senator, Democratic State Senator Caitlin Dre from Sioux City. And you became a state senator because there was a seat in the Woodbury County territory that came open last year due to the death of former Republican Rocky DeWitt. So you won a special election. I think it was in August. Is that correct?
August 26th. And then I was sworn in on September 15th.
Yeah. So how did the run up to the session go before you got there in January? Like, what sorts of activities do you do?
So once I was sworn in, I had access, you know, to a legislative email address. I started hearing from some constituents even before the session had even started about, you know, things that are affecting their everyday lives. They have kids who need access to mental health treatment, and they're not getting that. And they are, you know, losing access to care because of cuts to Medicaid funding, and doing what I can through kind of the rules process and then connecting them to the resources that do still exist was part of what I was doing between, you know, September 15th and now. The other major thing was just hearing from constituents, and that was at, you know, kind of pre-session legislative meetings with various groups, you know, met with the Siouxland Chamber and the City of Sioux City and all of the superintendents in the area, as well as some folks from the AEAs. And so just doing a lot of listening. And that's honestly the best part of the job. You know, people thank us for showing up at those things, and that gratitude is received so well, but it also, I just give that back because that's the job, right? I was elected to represent the people in Senate District 1, and when I show up at a town hall or a forum, I'm grateful to the people that show up there to talk about how they want to improve their community, because that's the real work.
Mm-hmm. Thank you for that. And to give people an understanding of the scope of what you're doing, what committees are you on in the Iowa Senate? And then what issues are you most interested in seeing getting passed this session?
Yeah, I serve on six committees, and if I can remember all six of them at once, it'll be a miracle. So Commerce, State Government, Economic Development, Health and Human Services, Transportation, and there's one more, Technology. Oh my gosh, I got all six. That feels like a miracle, just given the pace of things here. So things I'm watching really closely, both in, you know, the committees that I serve on and just in the session in general, education funding is going to be a really big one this year. We've heard anywhere from 0% SSA up to 5%, depending on who you ask. And It's really frustrating to hear zero when we know that that burden will then fall to property taxpayers. And, you know, that's another thing that we're watching closely is what kind of property tax reform proposals are we going to get, and how do they affect ultimately the services that people receive? Because I think that's the question that we're often missing when we talk about tax cuts, is who benefits the most, and that's disproportionately the wealthiest few in the state. And then what services are we forced to cut because of the loss in revenue? And I think we have done a disservice by not talking about the budget hole that we find ourselves in. And that's due in part, in large part really, and only because of the Republican leadership that we have been under for the last, you know, decade.
Thank you. And one more question before we get into some more specifics, but when you mentioned the Republican leadership, so you're a Democrat, Democrats are in a minority in both chambers. What can a person, what can a Democrat do in the Iowa legislature if they're not necessarily in the majority party to push for things that they want to see done?
Yeah, frankly, not a lot. Oftentimes our bills don't even make it to a subcommittee for consideration. We also don't get a lot of opportunity to offer amendments. Right now we're seeing a pretty significant uptick in you know, just disregard for ideas when they're put forth by the minority party, no matter how good that idea is. And so the biggest thing really is constituent service, which is probably my favorite part of what I've been doing so far. And that's, like I said, helping connect people to the services and departments that they might need that can hopefully start to solve some of their issues. And even if it's just like, hey, did you know about this extra service or this other way to kind of get your questions answered? That's really valuable to me. And I hope that that dedication to service is something that people see in the work that I'm doing.
Listening to What's the Frequency, where we are discussing topics that are in play in the Iowa legislature roughly 1 month into the session. The guests are two Siouxland members of the Iowa legislature. We have Republican State Representative Megan Jones of Clay County and now Democratic State Senator Caitlin Dre of Sioux City. And we're back for more with Senator Dre. And again, for the rest of the show, I want to talk about specific legislation. You just talked a few minutes ago about K-12 education. So the Iowa Senate, which, again, this would be the Republican leadership on Tuesday, put forward a proposal for K-12 schools. It's that proposal from that advanced from a subcommittee would increase student spending by 1.75%. That would amount to about $8,100 per student if that passed. The governor has suggested a 2% increase. You've also mentioned 5%. Where does it seem like this might turn out to be, and what number would you like to see?
Honestly, any number at this point is insignificant or is not enough, right? We have pretty consistently seen a decrease in both appreciation for and funding for public education. And you know, if we were going to talk about funding education at a level that was appropriate and kept pace with inflation, we'd need something like 14% this year. And that would, you know, kind of get us back to where we were when Governor Reynolds took over in 2017, when, you know, at the end of the Branstad administration. Really, none of the numbers that we're talking about are sufficient to get teachers and students the things that they need for them to be successful. We know that education is one of the single greatest indicators of economic mobility. And so to deprive the vast majority of our students with the resources that they need to be as successful as they can be is unconscionable to me.
And you also mentioned previously a topic I wanted to get to, so let's turn to that now. Property tax legislation. Republicans talked a lot last year before you were in the chamber wanting to get some sort of changes of property tax reform. Nothing happened in 2025. Where does that stand this year in terms of, like, what are the key proposals you're hearing being debated?
We've heard everything from capping local growth to, you know, doing away with the system entirely. It's really tough to say exactly where that's going to shape up again, because being in the minority party, unfortunately, we don't hear about a lot of those things until the general public hears about them. You know, we have, you know, maybe a day or two lead time, but, you know, when we talk about government transparency, we didn't see an advance copy of the governor's proposals, which has been in the past kind of standard practice where those in the legislature get a preview and get a chance to digest and understand what the governor is proposing ahead of the condition of the state. And that didn't happen this year. And my understanding is it hasn't happened in past years either. And so, I don't have a ton of information about where that's going to end up. But the biggest thing I think that's frustrating to me when we talk about capping local growth is that is, again, removing local government's ability to spend in a way that makes sense for them to keep their communities alive. It's yet another removal of local control from local elected leaders, right? City council folks and county supervisors are also duly elected and should be able to determine what city and county budgets look like without undue interference from the state. And so that's frustrating for me to hear and see that, you know, we're kind of tying the hands of other electeds to do their job when we talk about property tax reform.
Okay, thank you. And the voice you're hearing is Caitlin Dre. She's a Democrat from Sioux City in Senate District 1. And I know you're not in the chamber, but public health has been a big topic since the pandemic in 2020 and on forward. So this was a House committee on Wednesday, I guess we're talking here on Wednesday, but earlier this morning, advanced a bill that would eliminate vaccine requirements for Iowa students entering elementary or secondary school. Current law requires that Iowa students be vaccinated against diphtheria, tetanus, whooping cough, measles and rubella, hepatitis B, and meningitis. And that's unless they get granted a medical or religious exemption. So what do you think of that proposal?
It's really frustrating to me as someone who has recently been up close and personal with the healthcare system that we consistently allow policies that fly in the face of sound medicine and science to undercut decades of research that says vaccines are safe and effective and are the best way that we have to prevent child mortality. And so it's really frustrating. And this hasn't yet come over to the Senate side. I'll obviously be watching for that as a member of the Health and Human Services Committee. But it's really quite frustrating and sad when we are confronted with the idea that Republicans are pro-life until they are not. And it's really frustrating, frankly.
Okay. I am curious what you're hearing on the potential for an eminent a bill that would restrict the use of governments to use eminent domain to acquire land for such things as renewable energy pipelines.
Again, you know, we've seen a couple of amendments to, I think it's House File 2104. The majority leader has amended that now in such a way that no additional amendments will be allowed or accepted. We may see that one. I don't know that we'll see it on the floor yet this week. We may see it next week, but my understanding is that landowners are not happy with with the Senate version, and so I'll be watching that closely. No word yet on when we'll see the final Senate version, though.
Okay. And before we go, do you have one more topic that's been percolating at the Iowa legislature that you want to mention?
Yeah, one of the things that will probably kind of hopefully sneak by without any major changes or anything is the way in which mobile home parks are allowed to either raise rent or account for repairs, and trying to rein in some of these out-of-state landlords, basically, where you've got seniors or veterans who are on kind of a fixed income and they've decided they want to own a mobile home, and they own that mobile home, but they don't own the land that it sits on. And they have been subject to, you know, disproportionately high land rent increases, which is really tough to stomach when you're on a fixed income. And so looking at ways we can address that, and then also holding those landlords accountable for the repairs that are necessary to keep the land and any amenities in good working order. And so I'm hopeful that we can get something done on that as we, you know, blaze towards the middle of the session.
Okay. Thank you. And thank you, Iowa State Senator Caitlin Dre. Thank you for the health update and for checking in on. I enjoy these when it's a first time legislator. Last year we talked to Travis Sitzman, the Republican from Plymouth County, and it's nice to get impressions as you're getting your, I guess, legs under you and in this new pursuit.
Yeah, my pleasure. It's always lovely to chat with you, but it's folks have asked how I am, and I'm like, I honestly have no barometer to which I can compare. And so so far it's been really interesting and exciting and also really humbling to get to do this work for the folks who live in Senate District 1 every day. It's an honor to get to show up and represent them here.
Thank you again. And that'll be a wrap for this edition of What's the Frequency. Thanks to my guests for a discussion of topics that are in play in the Iowa legislature. We're about 1 month into the session, and we do this once a month at the two-month mark, the three-month mark, and we'll have a wrap-up here as the year goes on. My guests have been Republican State Representative Megan Jones of Clay County and Democratic State Senator Caitlin Dre of Sioux City. As we move into a third year for the show, thanks for being a part of our station as we work every day to tell the stories about Siouxland that inform, entertain, and expand the mind. Thanks for listening, and please join us again next week. What's the Frequency airs on Fridays at 10 a.m. and again on Sundays at 2 p.m. For Siouxland Public Media, I'm Brett Hayworth.